Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hey, Courtney, it's Sarah Marshall from Kent Memorial Library.
Hi, I'm Courtney from the Millbrook Library. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good.
I'm enjoying the thaw.
Yes, I know. Short-lived, I think, but you have to enjoy it while it lasts.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So our topic this week were the biggest circulation items for 2024. What was the top of your list over in Millbrook?
Yeah, so I think if you've been listening to our episodes, it might not be surprising to know it was The Women by Kristen Hannah. Easily.
Interesting. That was not ours.
Oh, so, what was yours?
The number one, it was actually a film. It was Oppenheimer.
Oh.
But then the number one book was James by Percival Everett.
Yeah, that's been a very popular one here.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. The women definitely went out a lot, but not as many as some of the others. So, had you read The Women?
I have not. I will admit, I am actually pretty awful at reading stuff on the bestseller list. And if I do read it, it ends up being like 3 years later. So probably in about 3 years.
Oh, that's really
funny. I'll feel like, oh, you should check that out.
Okay. Yeah, well, I went through our list, and I think I'd done about half of them. So I was feeling a little bit pleased with myself.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, the number one circ was Oppenheimer, and I actually saw that in the theater. So I haven't watched the DVD here, but then we showed it. We did a program with this. We have a person who is connected to this big sort of nuclear proliferation group through her university, and she brought and she lives here in Kent, and she brought a guy who used to be really high up in the nuclear disarmament conversations internationally. And so we did this program about the legacy of nuclear weapons.
That's
and
cool.
then a week later showed the film, which that was also really well received. We had like 70 people show up to that event, and then probably like 30 plus show up to see Oppenheimer. And it's such a big movie. Like, I don't know how well it translates to DVD on a home screen unless you have some ginormous, you know, viewing system in your house, because it really is a big visual spectacle. The sound is really impressive, and just all the visuals. So it's nice. We have a projector here at the library that's hardwired, and a full size screen that's like 12 feet wide, and surround sound. So when we show films, if we show them in the children's room, that's where that system is. It really does give you a theatrical experience, and I think that does help.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's nice. So when we get our new program room, it'll have that, you know, plus on steroids. So we're looking forward to it, because we don't have a movie theater here in Kent. Do you don't in Millbrook either, right?
We don't have a movie theater here. I think there used to be one. A couple decades ago, but we don't here. So we do movie screenings at least twice a month.
Oh, my gosh, really? What kind of space do you have?
So we use our gallery space. It's kind of like a really big flex space where you can fit a lot of people, and we have a screen and a short throw projector.
Nice.
So it feels like a big space. You don't smell the popcorn necessarily, but it's kind of the only game in town for film screenings.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, we're in the same boat. So we're hoping to improve our setup. Right now, if we show a film, we have to shut down the children's room. Or have it in our reading room, which is not quiet. So that's, no bueno. But as far as the most popular book, James, I did read that one. I liked it a lot. That, of course,
I did too.
You read it? Yeah.
That was one I did read.
Oh, good, good. And what did you find when you read it? What did you think about it?
I really liked the author's writing style, and I think I went back and actually read another one of his books.
I do that too.
It was
too.
The one that was turned into the movie, I think, I want to say American Fiction. I could be totally wrong right now.
Okay.
But I read another one of his books, and I really liked it after too. So it was a different style for sure, but I just thought like the premise of it was so creative.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was neat. And I like it when, sort of like Wicked, you know, when you take a story like Huck Finn, or in Wicked's case, you know, the Wizard of Oz kind of stuff, and then you turn it on its head, and say, you've been thinking about this all wrong, you know, that I love that. Everyone in this country has a certain, well, not everyone, but you know what I'm saying. Most people have a certain base knowledge of, like, cultural touchstones, like Huck Finn or The Wizard of Oz or whatever. And then when an author can take something like that and turn it upside down and really present it in a new way, in a new light, and write well, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can't, it only works if it's well written. But I love that because it really makes you rethink the way that our culture just accepts reality, because that's what we've always been told. Well, you know, Jim was not an uneducated man. He had to play a role. That was his job. And he was the main character in his story, whereas, you know, he's this sort of not superfluous, but side character in the original. So I always find those interesting. It's the same with probably the biggest book last year, Demon Copperhead. Mm-hmm. Same idea, to take David Copperfield and turn it and move it into like the common era. Other books we had, big ones. Lisa Gardner, Still See You Everywhere. I did not read that one. The Ellen Hildebrand Swan Song. I did not read that one, but I did read Northwoods. Did you read that one?
I did not.
And you know, I picked it up about three times and put it back down, and I was like, "Eh, not for me. It's not." You know, I tend to read more domestic fiction, but I really liked it. It had a lovely cover, and you know, we all do judge books by their covers. Let's be real.
Yes.
And it had a lovely cover, and I was like, "I don't know." But it's the story of a place, of a literal piece of earth, and how many lives were lived on that earth. And you know what it reminded me of? I was just traveling, and I was stuck on a plane, and I watched, was that when I was traveling? Anyway, I watched the movie, the Robert Zemeckis film with Tom Hanks, where they, it's about a house.
Is that Here?
Here, yes. It's the same premise, where basically here's this piece of earth, and they go through like 700 years of history on that piece of, actually more than that, but on that piece of earth, and the camera never moves.
And so that movie was actually based off a graphic novel.
Really?
That had the same premise, and the graphic novel was fantastic.
And called Here?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I haven't seen the movie yet, but it's on my list because I really liked the graphic novel.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. It wasn't great, but it was good. It jumps through time, like, constantly, so you just have to be, you know, kind of let your brain wrap around that. But similarly, this book is about that, but it's very much set in, it's either New England or upstate New York. I can't remember. Might be the corner of Massachusetts. And so it feels very homey in that way, because it's not far from what we see when we look out our windows living up here. And the way that the people, my favorite one was this couple that was like hiding. I think they weren't supposed to get married or something along those lines. And they went and they hid in this cabin for, you know, however long that they were able to stay until they were, you know, run out of town. I just thought it was neat. And it sort of puts the history into a very human perspective. So I like that a lot.
You've convinced me to add that to my reading list.
Other biggies we had, Husbands and Lovers. I like that a lot. That was Beatrice Williams. That was a neat kind of family secrets coming out of the hidden place that we keep them. Another big one that I actually read was Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. Did you read that one?
Yeah, that was big here too.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. And the rest of them I didn't read. Ha ha. I don't read mysteries. You know, Ellie Griffiths, she's got one on there. I don't read mysteries. I don't need another mystery in my life.
I think we had a couple of nonfiction ones that were popular. So The Third Gilmore Girl by Kelly Bishop, which was her memoir. I read that one, and that one was fantastic.
Well, how was she a Gilmore compelling. Girl? Was she?
She was the grandmother. She played the grandmother.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was really interesting just to learn more about her life and how she got started.
Yeah.
She was on Broadway, and it was super interesting. And then I'm actually reading now one that was on our list called The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt, I think, is how you say his last name. And that's all about how smartphones are impacting, like, childhood development.
Yeah, agreed.
And it's super interesting. And it's a science book that's, like, really accessible, I feel like, to
yeah.
people who aren't used to reading science books. So I'm actually, like, probably a third of the way through that one right now.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, that didn't show up on my list, so I haven't seen that one yet, but it's very possible that we have it, very likely. Nice. Yeah, I'm not a nonfiction reader in general, so when I pick something up, it usually is going to be something like that, where I feel like it's really applicable to what's happening. I wish I were more curious, but I'm not always wanting to learn.
That's okay.
I read to escape. I just finished. We have a book club. We have a couple of book clubs that meet here at the library, and we are reading a book that came out in 23, called Hello Beautiful, that I'd read before. Fabulous story, but I'd forgotten how sad it is at the end. I mean, it's sad. It's emotional at the end. There's beautiful moments in it too, but I was, you know, getting to that part last night and was like sobbing on my recliner and saying, "But you're like, this is supposed to be fun. What am I doing? I'm crying." You know, my husband came home from work and I was just a blubbery mess.
That's how you know it's a good book.
I love it so much. I know. It's such a wonderful story. But so when I read, I tend to read to escape into another life versus learn something that might be applicable to my current situation. And also, you know, I can't read anything that has too much current situation in it anyway because it makes me crazy. So any other big ones coming out for you guys or things that are newly released?
Oh, I think... I know in our ebooks, the new book's Onyx Storm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one's
yeah, I haven't read that series. My daughter read it, and she's obsessed with it, but I just can't get myself to start it. So
yeah, that's probably our biggest ebook one right now. And then I think just for we also have a nonfiction book that came out, the Let Them Theory, that we have a couple of people waiting for.
Okay.
So... kind of nonfiction is having a moment, I think.
Well, good. You know, I'm glad other people are learning. I don't have the bandwidth right now. Yeah, the new one, the Times Must Read Book of the Year, which we have, is Martyr. I'm sure I'll get to that at some point, but I don't think it's going to hit me yet because books like that, when they've gotten the reviews that this one's getting, there's just you get in line.
Yes.
So what happens is I clock it, I see that I like it, and then it goes out for like 3 months, and then it ends up back on the sort of the neglected new things where they're no longer super hot, and that's when I eventually pick them up. So here's hoping it shows up. Well, okay, that's about my whole list. Do you have any other exciting things happening over there?
So I think probably our biggest thing coming up in March is we're having our fourth annual volunteer fair on Saturday, March 15th from 11 to 1.
Nice.
And we have, I think it's about 14 organizations that are going to be at the library with tables, information, and people can come and learn about how they can get involved with these organizations and start volunteering if they want. So,
that's great. We've
really
talked
excited.
About doing something like that. So that sounds, I may call you and get some info.
Oh, yeah. It's been, we have, like, the fire department coming with their fire truck, which is really cool.
Oh,
and
wow.
We have some, like, environmental organizations, some animal rescue organizations, food pantries, things like that.
Nice.
So it should be pretty fun.
Nice. So that does sound great. I'm trying to think what's our biggest thing coming up. The most popular event coming up is called Meet Your Monger, where we we invited a cheesemonger.
That's amazing.
And, yeah, kind of fun. And people are going to come and learn about, and it's all like regional cheeses. And she's going to come and bring a whole bunch of things for people to try and talk about different methods and, you know, why, how their methods change the way the cheeses taste and blah, blah, blah. So that's become, we've got like 40 people signed up for that.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, I can see that being huge.
I know. Well, you know, cheese. So it's bribery, but it works. I'm not ashamed. All right. Well, I think that's about all I have.
Same here.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. Take care.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio, 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.